Barnhart. 03-43-16.
May it please the court, counsel. There are two primary issues before the court today. One, did the administrative law judge error in the weight given to the treating physician's opinion? And two, did the ALJ error in his assessment of the claimant's credibility? The first issue, by using the commissioner's own interpretation of the regulations and its own rules, presumes that a treating physician's opinion is to be given primary consideration and only to be discounted if it is inconsistent. Moreover, the ALJ must put forth a detailed assessment to support his conclusion. The commissioner incorrectly argues that the treating physician's opinion can be used only if consistent. In other words, they're arguing a gatekeeper argument, which is inconsistent with its own direct regulations and its own rulings. I've cited in my brief Social Security ruling 96-2P, and that specifically uses the language that I have cited, which is that the treating physician is to be given the primary consideration unless it is inconsistent. In other words, there's a presumption that the treating physician's opinion is to be used. Why is this significant? In this particular case, the treating physician limited Dummler to 4 hours of work per day. According to the vocational expert who testified at the hearing and the regulations, such a limitation would result in a finding of disability. We have the medical record in this case shows that on December 20th, 2001, Dummler reported to Dr. Jonathan Reeser. There was a limit placed on his lifting capacity. However, Dr. Reeser's medical records note that the improved strength has not been associated with a significant improvement in degree of discomfort of the experiences with cervical range of motion, which limits which remains limited. In other words, the doctor has drawn a distinction between the ability to lift on one hand and on the other hand the ability of the claimant, Mr. Dummler, to work in a sustained setting for 8 hours per day. That issue was completely clouded by the administrative law judge in his findings. It completely was missed, and it's been completely missed by the commissioner in its brief. Those restrictions were placed on him on December 20th, were renewed on January 4th, and significantly, after he went to a performance evaluation in March of 2001, he was given those restrictions as permanent restrictions. And this court has ruled that a performance evaluation, a functional capacity evaluation, is to be given weight. Nowhere in the administrative law judge's decision does that at all appear. As I indicated, the issue is not lifting, it's endurance. And that is a medical issue that is to be determined by medical doctors, not by the administrative law judge. As this court has repeatedly said, administrative law judges are not to play doctor. Yet that's exactly what's been done in this particular case. Dr. Reeser, the administrative law judge, bases his opinion almost completely, on the issue of the state agency's finding. The state agency's physicians noted that if Dummler could work 4 hours doing light work, therefore he could work 8 hours doing sedentary work. That finding never takes into account the issues of his endurance. It does not take rocket science for one to understand that lifting generally affects the lower back, whereas the ability to do any kind of work with or around the arms, legs, or the arms and hands generally requires more issues up in the upper back and the cervical region. In this particular case, that problem, even doing sedentary work, as the court is aware, as lawyers, we're doing sedentary work, sitting behind a desk, reading, or we're required to bend forward to look, we're required to bend forward to do other things. Even sedentary work is directly affected by this type of condition. I note that the language in 96-8P specifically states if a treating physician or if a treating source's medical opinion on an issue of the nature and severity of the individual's impairment is well supported by medically acceptable clinical and laboratory diagnostic techniques and is not inconsistent with the other substantial evidence in their case record, the adjudicator must give it controlling weight. That's the language. This is created by the commissioner to give guidelines to the administrative law judge on how to apply the regulations. The commissioner instead decides, well, we're not going to use that language. We're going to say we're only going to consider the treating physician's opinion if it's consistent with the record. It turns the logic, the regulations, in 180 degrees. The commissioner's argument that by failing to understand it, that endurance is the issue and not lifting is similar or somewhat similar to like having a pain from an infection and taking aspirin. Clearly the pain is gone, but not the infection. In this particular circumstance, yes, a medium or light lifting restriction used by the doctor would alleviate some of his problems, but it's only the 4 hour per day restriction because of the cervical neck and endurance that is the real issue. The second issue is that of credibility. And again, the court has ruled numerous times on this issue of credibility and the application of Regulation 96-7P. Or ruling 96-7P. The ALJ's entire issue of credibility involves driving an automobile, mowing the lawn, washing dishes. He quotes a January 3rd medical note that there was yard work and activities done around the house. He does dishes and grocery shopping. This is not significant, and the only way of overcoming the issue is by attacking Dummler's credibility to establish that he could not, or that he could perform more than what he literally was allowed to do by his doctor. Thank you.
Mr. Kristoff.
May it please the court, my name is Edward Kristoff, and I'm here on behalf of Joanne Barnhart, the Commissioner of Social Security, in this matter. The decision of Administrative Law Judge Arthur Schneider stands as the Commissioner's final decision in this matter, and because that decision is legally sound and supported by substantial evidence in the record as a whole, this Court should affirm that decision. The ALJ weighed conflicting medical evidence in this case, together with the other evidence in this record, and reasonably concluded that this plaintiff could perform a limited range of sedentary work on a full-time basis despite the limitations caused by his impairment. The vocational expert's testimony was that an individual with this claimant's residual functional capacity and vocational characteristics could perform a significant number of jobs, and the ALJ reasonably relied on that uncontradicted testimony to conclude that this gentleman was not disabled. Now, plaintiff argues that the ALJ was obligated to accept the opinion of a treating physician, Dr. Reeser, that the plaintiff was only able to work 4 hours a day. However, the ALJ provided logical, reasonable, legally sound rationale for rejecting that opinion from Dr. Reeser. Dr. Reeser's opinion was not supported by the underlying medical evidence. Dr. Reeser's opinion was contradicted by other medical opinion in the record, and very clearly on this record, Dr. Reeser's opinion was based on plaintiff's statements as to what he thought he could do. Specifically, Dr. Reeser said in establishing the 4-hour limitation, and I'm referring to page 451 of the transcript, he feels that the present light-medium lifting capacity is probably an adequate level for him to tolerate 4 hours a day. Even when he is doing less activity, he states that his endurance is limited to 4 hours a day or so, and thus I anticipate that the hourly restriction should apply to any level of work capacity. A claimant is not permitted to make his own diagnosis and own disability finding in a Social Security disability case, but that's basically what plaintiff is arguing here. The ALJ has the duty to go into the record, to weigh the conflicting medical evidence, and to determine what this gentleman's remaining functional capacity is, taking into account the limitations that are reasonably caused by his impairment. In this case, the ALJ looked at Dr. Reeser's opinion, compared it to the other medical opinions that released this gentleman to go back to work not just at a sedentary level, but to go back to unrestricted work activity, and concluded that Dr. Reeser's opinion was simply not supportable based on this record. Now, the ALJ also performed the credibility analysis, and plaintiff complains that the ALJ was attacking his credibility. The ALJ was assessing his credibility. That's the ALJ's job to do precisely that. And in assessing this gentleman's credibility, he compared his claims that he could only do 3 or 4 or 5 hours of work a day, depending on what version in the record you look at over time, to the fact that he was engaging in significant daily activities. He's mowing his own lawn with a push mower and a riding mower and a weed whacker. He's going to his kids' athletic events. In a single day, he's reported as engaging. In fact, it was the day before the hearing. Not a day picked by the ALJ out of the air, but just a day in the life of this gentleman. He said he was mowing the lawn, reading the paper, going to the grocery store, visiting his mother, and watching football. That sounds like an average day. That's not the day of someone who is debilitated to the point they can only work 3 or 4 hours a day, especially at that very limited range of sedentary work set forth in the ALJ's RFC finding. So the ALJ made a reasonable credibility assessment within his discretion as finder of fact, and this court should not disturb that credibility assessment because the ALJ's decision is supported by substantial evidence in the record as a whole, and it is legally sound. We pray that this court will come to the same conclusion as the district court and affirm the ALJ's decision. Thank you.
Thank you. Two minutes, Mr. Duncan.
Thank you. The commissioner continues to argue a red herring before this court as it has been throughout its briefs, and that is the assessment that the claimant established his own restrictions. While the claimant was in, or did have input in those restrictions, there was an objective test done at the Work Performance Center which came to the same conclusion. Second, when looking at assessing credibility, the ability to assess or the legal argument or legal assessment of credibility, as this court has ruled numerous times, lies in the following of the guidelines established in 96-7P, establishing the not just the daily activities as the commissioner alleges, but to look at all of the evidence, medical evidence, precipitating, aggravating factors, dosage, effectiveness of medication, measures to alleviate pain. In this particular case, we have an individual who had 2 discs fused in his neck. Had an MRI, reported grinding in the neck throughout the thing, an FCE done by Dr. Reeser, the result of physical therapy, and all the rest of it. The daily activities by Dummler's testimony at hearing was that he did these activities, but at a slower pace. The commissioner basically wants individuals to prove their disability to be stuck in bed, and that is not realistic. It is not what the law was entitled to do. The commissioner, if the commissioner is allowed deference in applying its own rules and regulations as they've written them, how is it that, or when, if ever, can the commissioner be held to accountable? When can the commissioner ever be held to any standard of law? They can basically establish all the ground rules and then choose to ignore those rules as they so deem. Thank you.
Okay, and the case will be taken under advisement, and we'll proceed.